First Thessalonians chapter number 3, and we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you knew, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, and for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceeding that we might see your faith and might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Now, from verses 1 through 5, Paul shows his concern for the Thessalonians. He's been thinking about them day and night. It says chapter number 2, verse 18, it says that he was hindered by the workings of the devil. Where it says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us." It says, you know, it shows that he was hindered, but he was looking forward to seeing them. But the last time, if you read from chapters 1 and 2, the Thessalonians had outstanding faith. They had outstanding love one toward another and for other Christians. And as we see in verse number 2, Paul sends Timothy, to go give a faith checkup on him. Just like how we go to the doctors and we get a checkup on our day, you know, different, on our hearing, on our sight, on, you know, how much we weigh, if we've gained any weight, if we've gotten any tall, you know what I'm saying? So he sent Timothy to give them a faith checkup. He wanted to see how they was doing. And, I won't be too long. I know it's Wednesday. I'll give you what the Lord has for me, but what I want to preach is a faith checkup. Sometimes we need a checkup on our faith. Sometimes it's been a little bit too long since we just kind of coast, put it into coasting. We just kind of coast. We don't really have many tribulations, and we're not going to get anywhere if we don't. I mean, it seems kind of backwards to us in our mind that, yeah, we have to have some heartaches to get somewheres. But that's the truth. I mean, just like if you were to go to the gym, you're not going to get any stronger if you ain't going to do things that you don't want to do. It's the same way in the Christian life. If we don't have trials and tribulations, if we're not put through the fire, our faith, if it's not growing, if there's not things that's testing our faith, we're not going to have any faith. I mean, it's just going to be completely gone. They ain't going to be nothing there. So then we need a faith checkup ever so often. we can see in Job's life, from the very beginning, Job chapter 1, verse, it's in the earlier part, but it tells, the book of Job gives an outline. It says he was a perfect and an upright man before God. And he followed, he was an outstanding Christian, Job was. And he even made sacrifices for his children. If they even cursed God in their mind, if they even sinned in their mind, not even outwardly, but even if they just did it in their mind, he made sacrifices for them. He was an outstanding Christian. And with that, in Job chapter 1, it tells, let me just flip over there. I believe I got it marked. Job chapter 1. Verse number 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hand? And his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only himself put not forth his hand, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Job was such an outstanding man of God that the Lord put him through trials. He put him through all that. He told the devil, have you considered Job? Have you considered him? And we can see right here, he put a hedge about him. That means everything from verse 1 to verse 7 clearly states that Job had outstanding faith. He trusted in God. He was an outstanding man of God. And through that, because he was an outstanding man of God, he was tested. And tested like crazy. I mean, the whole book of Job, all the way up until the last, is test after test. Through the first half that we know the best of God taking everything from him. I mean, everything, his children, his flocks of sheep, his oxen, his camels. I mean, it was all taken away from him. Every bit of it stripped just like that. I mean, as one servant was coming to him, the next one was coming to say, hey, this is gone and I'm the only thing left. One after another. Just, I mean, like the Bible literally states that the one could not get his mouth shut about what he was talking about before another one was coming out with bad news. It was just test after test right then and there. And he was tested just like that. I mean, everything thrown at him just like that. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Everything thrown at him all at once. And then right after that, Job curses the day that he was even born. That's how bad it had gotten in Job's mind. He's like, I don't even wish to think about the day that I was born. He cries out to the Lord in each chapter. I read through it. Each chapter, he's asking God why. Or he's cursing the day that he was even born. That's just how bad it was to Job. That's how much his faith was being tested. But through every bit of that, through the whole, 46, I want to say, chapters of Job, through it all, at the very end, He never curses God. He curses the day that he was born, but he never cursed God. His faith was steady in God the entire time. Even after the second chapter, I believe, or in the middle of the second chapter, I want to say, in the middle of the second chapter, he's like, you know what? This is for a purpose. God has a plan. I ain't got no idea what it is, but God has something, whether it's for me, whether it's for someone else. God has a plan for all this, and God's going to see me through it some way or another, but I can't stand the day I was born. But God has a plan for it. He had faith even through the hardest time of his life. He had faith. And then it comes back to us, comes round circle back to us. What happens in Josh Doherty's life when something just a little bit tad off from what I was expecting, what I had planned on? What do I do? How much faith in God do I have when something like that comes? Do I trust in myself? Do I break down? And do I do it like Job and mourn for a little bit, but then, you know what? God has a plan for my life. Or am I going to sit around and blame God for all this? That's why we need a faith. We need a faith checkup ever so often, just to see how our faith is doing. We need a faith checkup, like how you do at the doctors, your pulse. In the Christian life, how's your attitude? How's your heart doing? How is your heart? Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How is my heart doing? Is my heart pure towards God? Is I believe it was David said, search my heart, O Lord. How is Josh Doherty's heart? How is Adam Watkins' heart? How are we doing in our heart? When we go to the doctors for a check, how's our temperature? How's our attitude? How is our Christian attitude? Are we walking around, oh, woe is me? There's so much going on. There's so much going on with all of us. If there wasn't something going on, that means you're still Christian. That means you're lukewarm. In Philippians 2 and 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others than themselves. Our ears. How is our listening to God doing? In John chapter 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How's my spiritual hearing doing? Am I listening to the things that God tells me? Am I listening for his voice in my life? Or have I just walking around closing my ears because I don't want another hardship in my life, so I just plug my ears? How's my hearing doing? Check your tongue. They get that little stethoscope or whatever it's called, and they look into you. How's my speaking doing? How's my godly? What's coming out of my mouth during the day? In Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. If someone, first of all, is someone going to know that I'm a Christian? By the way that my attitude is, by the way that my heart is, by the way that how I'm talking, are people going to know that I'm a Christian? And when they ask me, am I going to have an answer for them? Am I going to make God? How do I put this? Am I going to put a bad name on Christianity in the way that I walk, in the way that I talk? And I may say something that's godly, and someone asks, are you a Christian? What am I going to say to them? How is what I'm going to say to them going to affect them? And in my everyday walk, is my speech pleasing to God? At a doctor's checkup, they check your height. Well, how's my walk with God? How is my walk with God? How is Josh Doherty walking every day with God? Am I just kind of cruising along, doing my own thing? And Sunday and Wednesday, I just so happen to pick up my Bible, scrape the dust off of it, open up them real crunchy pages. Or am I walking with God every day? Am I talking to Him? Walking with God, walking with someone needs a relationship. You need a relationship. When you walk with someone, you're going to have a relationship with them. You're not just going to, I mean, you might for a little while, but eventually you're going to get to know the person you're walking next to. That's the same thing with walking with God. I mean, you need to be able to hear His voice. You need to have a connection with Him. I mean, us as the children of God, we ought not be children and not be with our Father. How is our walk with God? In Genesis, it talks about Enoch. He walked with God. That was his thing. Enoch walked with God. If there was a book to be written down, God forbid, about my life, would it say Josh Doherty walked with God? Would it say that? Or Josh Doherty was a lukewarm Christian? What would it say? How does my walk with God, how is my walk with God on a daily basis? At a doctor's checkup, check your weight. I'm a little bit under what I should be. But how is your spiritual heaviness? Is the things that you talk about, is it just kind of lighthearted and just kind of going through your life and you're just a little wishy-washy? Or are you pulled down to earth about the things that you're saying? Are you truly telling people that, hey, I mean, you don't have to be straight out and tell them, hey, you're going to hell, because that's not going to get you anywhere. But are you telling them that there's a God who loves you and there's a hell that you're going to if you don't get saved? I mean, that's the reality of it. Am I spiritually heavy in my life? Am I pulled down to earth and telling people, hey, you need to get right before it's everlasting too late? When it's too late, it's gone. Too late. The door is shut. I mean, there's no coming back after that. How is my spiritual heaviness? In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. In our weightiness, in our telling people that, hey, once it's too late, it's too late. In our doing so, are we giving them hope, or are we just doom and gloom? Hey, you're going to hell. You know, like I said, that ain't going to get no one nowheres. But you got to give them hope. I mean, this is our hope. This is the Word of God. This is our hope right here. Are we giving them the hope of salvation? And our eyes, when you go to the doctor, they check your eyes, half blind you. Are you looking for God's will? Are you looking around trying to find God's will? Or are you, I don't want to go through one of those things again. Are we just walking around blindly through the Christian life, just kind of not really going anywhere? I mean, that being blinded ain't going to get you nowheres except probably where you ought not to be. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may be put to silence and ignorant of foolish men." Are we walking around being foolish men, covering our eyes to the will of God, what the will of God has for our life? Are we walking around with our ears plugged, with our eyes closed? Are we walking around just kind of wishy-washy in our Christian life when we ought to pull it down to earth? Say, hey, this thing's wrapping up. I mean, this thing's wrapping up real quick. 2024, I would not be surprised if we don't make it out of this year. I can confidently say that. This world just getting worse and worse by the hour. Like, God's coming any minute now. God's coming. Are we telling the world, hey, this thing's about to wrap up, and once we're gone, we're gone. Like, they ain't no coming back. They ain't no salvation. Salvation is now. Are we listening to God's will? Are we listening to maybe the opportunity to tell someone, hey, God loves you. You need to get right. Are we listening to God in His will for us? Are we speaking godly things that we might lead someone to the Lord? Is our attitude too hot or too cold? Is our heart for God, is it just a little fizzled out? I mean, we're fixing to have revival, but who knows? The Lord may come back before this revival even starts. We ought not wait till a revival to try to, let's go, let's get this thing done. We ought to start doing every single day, trying to kindle that fire, trying to light it up, trying to be a little prep in our step. I mean, this thing's wrapping up. I'll say it again. This thing's wrapping up real fast. And once we're gone, you can't further your walk with God. And you don't want to step back, but you want to try to get as far along with God, have our relationship with God as best as we can get it. How is your faith looking? How's my faith looking? If Timothy were to come up to us today, if we was back in Thessalonica and Paul sent Timothy our way and Timothy came back, what would his letter be about for Ben Panther or Dave or Miss Peggy, Miss Phyllis? How would Timothy be like, Mike, you know, Mike's doing real good, or Mike's doing, you know, real bad? How would our faith check up to Paul, let alone our Father? Let alone our Father. Our God is with us. If you're a saved individual, God is on the inside of you. He lives on the inside of you. How is our walk with God? How are we doing? How is our faith doing? Are we struggling in our faith? I know I need a little checkup every so often, because my faith, if we don't have over and over and over, if we don't have a little trial of our faith, often it's going to weaken and weaken. And we're not going to be the individual, the saved individual that we need to be.